Hi everyone, welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. Today I'm going to talk about mediation, and it's a topic I've talked a lot about in the past, but specifically I want to talk about something that I think is the most important thing when it comes to mediation, and that is the kids. Specifically, I think that kids who have parents who get divorced through mediation are so lucky because they get a lot of benefits. And with me to talk about this topic, I can't think of anyone better. Brian James, he's a divorce mediator and parenting coordinator. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Great. Great to have you on the show. I want to tell our listeners a little bit about you so they know that how much credibility you actually have to talk about this subject. So Brian has been a divorce mediator since 2005. He completed Northwestern University's training in mediation and conflict resolution. And prior to becoming a mediator, he spent 10 years working in the criminal justice system, helping victims of domestic violence, as well as divorcing couples and their children. So it's really great to be sitting here talking with you, Brian, because I know that you're experienced, you're knowledgeable, you know the Illinois laws and Wisconsin, actually, and you have just so much experience working with divorcing couples who have kids.
Thank you. Yes, I love working with families.
All right, so Brian wrote an article called Six Benefits of Mediation for Kids. You can find it on Divorce Girl Smiling. So this is what you wrote at the beginning of the article. We tell parents that their children are our clients, and we repeatedly encourage parents to keep that in mind throughout the mediation process, especially if things get contentious.
Yeah, it rings true because, you know, almost everybody that comes to mediation with children, they want to do what's best for their children. And Ellen and I, we hold them accountable to that. We keep that as the priority, that's what they want to do. So if things start to go down a bad path, we remind them that, remember, you're doing this for your children. This is why you're not litigating in court and fighting and bringing them into the court system. You're doing everything outside of court because you know that's what's best for them.
And I think people really appreciate being reminded because they know deep down inside that that's true, but it's easy to forget when you get emotional and you're angry and upset and have so much anxiety. So they probably really appreciate that.
They do. They do. Because like you said, sometimes even though they want to, things get a little heated and they get distracted. And sometimes they just need to be reminded.
A little really heated. Helps. I'm sure it gets a lot. Yeah. All right. So six benefits of mediation for kids. That's what we're talking about. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, divorce mediator, Brian James. I'm going to list the things, the benefits, and then Brian, you just kind of explain what they are.
Okay.
So the first one is mediation promotes an amicable relationship. And we know that, that's obvious, but tell us specifically how that affects kids.
Sure. One of the mainstays with mediation is trying to keep good parents as good co-parents as they work their way through the divorce process. We have parents that come to us because they have maybe poor communication skills, or they have trouble doing this or trouble doing that. So we encourage our clients to continue to work together, continue to talk together about their children. We give them homework to do regarding their children. The more they can be united and come together on agreements, the more that helps their co-parenting relationship, which ultimately affects their children in a positive light. You know, before people start the divorce process, they've probably burned bridges between each other. Well, what our job is partly is to stop those bridges from being burned and try to mend some of them so that when the process is done, they have a good agreement and they're working well together as co-parents. It just ultimately overall, mediation helps ensure that good parents remain good co-parents going forward, so they focus on what's important.
And I noticed that you mentioned that people come to you and they might have poor communication skills. And that makes perfect sense. That's why they're getting divorced. That's, you know, one of the reasons they couldn't work it out. So mediation really teaches people, I think, that to communicate better during the process and then after moving forward, which ultimately benefits their children.
Exactly. Mediation is all about talking and communicating. So we're, as part of the process, we're teaching maybe some people who don't know how to co-parent or communicate together. We're teaching them how to do it as part of the process. You know, our job is to get them to agreements, but secondary, we're helping them reach those agreements through communication between the two of them.
But what do you do when a couple just has so much anger towards each other and they don't want to talk to each other? They're like, I don't even want to be in the same room with him. Like, can you get past that?
Most times we can. Sometimes I'll be candid, we can't. Some people have so much anger and animosity towards each other that it doesn't work. But again, if people are coming into the process agreeing they want to do what's right by their children, they want to be equitable and amicable and keep that as their focus, we can help them. Even the people that have a lot of discontent for each other, if they are both on the same page that they want to do what's right, even though it may be a little more challenging for them and a little more work needs to be done, they can get through the process. And sometimes it means meeting with each parent individually, finding out why are they so stuck on this? Why is this causing so much stress? Sometimes we even refer clients out to counseling during the mediation process. Maybe there are some things that they need to work on with themselves due to anger, frustration, sadness they have due to the divorce or also towards their soon-to-be ex that is prohibiting them to come into agreements. You know, they have like a block and they need someone to help them get past that block. So there's been times where we've put mediation on hold for someone to go into therapy. We even strongly recommend co-parenting therapy. A lot of our clients are like, why would we go into therapy? We're getting divorced. Well, now's the time to make changes. And if that communication was not well, you still have to communicate even more now than before because you're living separately. There's lots of logistical things regarding your children all the way through graduation to college that you're going to need to communicate on.
Even beyond college graduation, I would say forever. What about weddings and grandchildren? You know, this is a lifetime thing that people are investing in to be able to communicate in life for the rest of their lives, pretty much. So let's move on to the second benefit of mediation for kids is mediation makes decision making easier. Tell me about that.
Because people are focused on working together and doing what's right for their kids, they're not coming into the process with extreme polar opposite ideas as to what they want to see happen. And because we're working together and they're seeing each other versus through litigation when everything's going through their attorneys, it helps them to understand the other parent's position. It helps them to empathize as to why they're saying this. And a good mediator or mediators will help with that. They're going to help facilitate when it gets to a point that they get stuck on something to help the clients reach a decision that is equitable, makes sense, and good for their children. It may not be initially what each of them thought was going to happen in the beginning, but in the end, it's going to be their decision that they reached jointly together. So they have the buy-in as to what they're agreeing to because they have to live it and they have to implement it. And by doing that in a kind of more laid-back civil process, they're setting the stage for the future. And they're setting the stage that it's going to be easier for them to honor the agreements in their parenting agreement because they're the ones that reach those agreements that they feel are best for their children.
Right. And do you really want a judge telling you what nights of the week you're going to see your children? You know, wouldn't you rather have some say in it? That's why I just am a huge fan of mediation, and it works so well if people are willing to really focus on the business deal instead of how much anger and what a jerk your ex is.
And that's really important, Jackie, because we steer people away from that piece of it. We don't talk about the past unless it's relevant to reaching agreements, because we don't want to know, unfortunately, why they got divorced.
Right.
That's not necessary to this process. It's about working out that business side of it, the nuts and bolts, and keeping them focused on what's important, which is their children.
And that's why it's important, in my opinion, if you're getting divorced and you're going through mediation or any divorce process, to have a therapy and probably a divorce coach also. And these are the support systems that are in place, support groups like the Divorce Girl Smiling Facebook group page. Maybe you have a support group for divorced people. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your family. And like I said, therapists or divorce coaches. And then when you walk into mediation, it should be all business.
Yep, exactly. And some people have trouble with that. And that's where good professionals are going to help them overcome that and refocus on doing what they know they should be doing, but that they're stuck with at the present time.
Right. Okay. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with your host, Jackie Pilisoff, and my guest, Brian James, a divorce mediator and parenting coordinator. Let's move on to number three. Mediation keeps parents on the same page when handling kids' problems. So my kids don't have any problems, so I don't really understand.
No. Lucky you. So as all parents know, you know, there's going to be things that you have to talk about. You have to coordinate on. You have to agree on. You have to discuss logistics on. And when someone is divorced, the way you communicate is how you reach those agreements. So, you know, like I said, one of the benefits of mediation is it keeps good co-parents as good co-parents so they can work together. So when a decision does need to be made in the future, they're already at a good place with each other, where ideally they trust each other. They have empathy. They can understand why one person is saying this versus saying this. So it makes them more amenable to reach good agreements when it comes to a decision that needs to be made. It could be something as simple as signing the kids up for baseball. It could be changing the doctor. It could be something serious like having to possibly put your child on medication or have them go into therapy. But parents that work together and are communicating well together have a better chance of reaching agreements when they need to.
Right. And you know what I love about this is that, so think about it. If kids have any kind of an issue or there needs to be any decisions made, it usually comes with some stress. Sometimes it's good stress, like what college should our kid go to? That's good stress. You know, nothing bad's happening. But what if it's like a medical decision or the kid is sick and, like you said, has to go on medication or even worse, surgery or something like that? I think what you're trying to say is that mediation helps parents manage the stress and learn how to talk to each other about coming up to with the best decision without getting in a huge fight over it.
Exactly. Exactly. When they're walking into a discussion already on the same page and having that trust in each other, that's 9/10 of it right there. You know, we work with people who are divorced that come back to us with problems because they can't agree on something. And we typically can figure out within the first 10 minutes, did those people mediate? Did they litigate and have to go to a custody battle to decide what happens with the kids? You know, are they focusing on the one issue and looking forward, or are they bringing up things that happened during their divorce or things that happened before their divorce, like why they got divorced in the first place? You can tell. It's all based on, you know, the little bit of time that it takes in someone's life to go through the divorce process plays a huge role in what the post-divorce life is like for everybody.
Right. Number four, mediation works and it saves money. Tell me about that.
So by the very nature of mediation, it's working together with someone, or an Ellen in my case, two people, to reach all the necessary agreements to get divorced versus each of you having an attorney on your side that is arguing your position and you're not talking to each other. So one, the hourly rate is a lot higher. Two, it takes a lot more time to go through the process because instead of working together, it's you against me. It's people trying to get their best case scenarios because they're arguing. They're not looking at it from the other perspective of what's best for everybody. And some people get the mindset, well, if he's going to do this, I'm going to do this. I don't care if we spend all of our money. Where, you know, to most people, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe someone's saying that. But if someone is hurt, angry, sad, mad due to what happened in their marriage and why they're getting divorced, they may feel that that makes them feel better. In the end, it doesn't for most people. Some people it does, but most people, your money's your money. Spend as little as you need to go through this process and save that money for your family. Put it towards your kids' college. You know, one of the things we do when people get stuck is we talk about, okay, here's what it could cost if you go to court on this. Here's how much time you may spend. Here's the bridges that you're possibly going to burn with each other if you go down this path versus coming to a negotiated agreement that you know you can live with and do. We never want our clients to just cave in to the other one just to reach an agreement. Because if they don't have the buy-in that this is a good agreement for our children or for us, it's going to come back to bite them later on, and it's going to cause a problem. So one thing that we really stress is when people reach an agreement, we ask them, okay, what does this agreement mean to you? Why did you come to this agreement versus just, okay, you agree, let's move on.
Oh, I love that.
Because we want our clients to know, what does this agreement mean 6 months from now? What does it mean a year from now? What does it mean 5 years from now? So they know what an agreement actually means in real life. Because right now, most people are still together, so they're not even living separate yet, so they don't know what it means. We want to go through and ask those questions to make sure they know exactly what it means, because they have to live it. And once they sign on the dotted line, they have to abide by it.
So I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in my life who are divorced and who have said to me, I wish I wouldn't have gone to litigation and spent all that money on my divorce. Some of them's $30,000, $50,000. Some is $200,000, $400,000. And I bet you if you asked every single person who went to litigation and spent a ton of money, they would say, I wish we would have mediated and I wouldn't have been so angry, but anger and fighting cost us all that money.
Yeah. I hear it a lot. Cause we work with, you know, when we work with people who are divorced, they'll tell us how much they spent. They'll tell us what they went through, or even people that start mediation with us. And for whatever reason, they can't come to agreements and they go to court. And then a year later, if we hear back from them, they tell us how much money they spent, what it did to them as parents, and ultimately the agreements they probably ended up reaching were close to what they would have reached in mediation anyway. They just spent a lot more of their money, a lot more time, and burned a lot of bridges to get almost the exact same agreement.
Yep. Yep. All right. Number five of the benefits of mediation for kids. Mediation is emotionally healthy for kids.
So mediation is emotionally healthy for kids, most importantly, because it keeps them out of court. So if parents cannot agree on a schedule for their children, that means that ultimately a judge may have to decide. And when that happens, the children unfortunately become part of the process. they will have to have a psychological evaluation done. The children may be appointed an attorney who is going to talk to them. The psychologist or therapist is going to talk to them. So they get brought into center stage their parents' litigation. When, of course, when people mediate, the children are never part of the process, you know, because the parents are working together and talking for their children about what's best. It's rare that when people mediate, you ever talk to the children. Now we do sometimes if, you know, mom says the kids are saying this and dad says the kids are saying this, sometimes mediators will talk to the children to get exactly what they are saying. Because maybe they are telling mom one thing and dad something different because they're telling their parents what they want to hear. They think that's what their parents want to hear. So that's what they're going to tell them. So sometimes we do talk to children, but children are the innocent victims in this. It's not the kid's fault that their parents are getting divorced. It's something to do with the parents. So what happens is when you bring the kids front and center into the process, it affects them negatively because now it's pitting mom against dad. They're having to not testify in court most times, but they're having to talk to people. They're having to say things that they probably don't want to say, and it's because the parents don't agree.
Okay, and the other thing is, when parents go to mediation, they're going there together and they're making decisions together. I mean, they might be in separate rooms and have separate conversations, but they're basically in the process together. When you go to court, one is on one side with his lawyer, one is on one side with her lawyer. And I think children sense this. And when parents go to mediation, it's like mom and dad are getting divorced, but they love us so much that they're planning the future for us together. And I truly think that that makes kids so much more emotionally healthy. It makes them feel safe. It makes them feel warm and fuzzy. It makes them feel more loved that mom and dad, even though they're not going to be together, are going to do this for us. They're working in mediation with Ellen and Brian to make our lives all still good after the divorce. Don't you think?
Yeah. And there's a lot of power to that statement because, you know, if we're doing our job well, the children are never part of the process. Parents are reaching all the agreements that they know are good for their children. Yes, children are going to be affected by divorce. There's no way they're not going to be. But how they are affected all depends on the parents. You have parents that come in that are optimistic, that are working together, that are talking to each other. The kids will be fine. You have parents that come in that are pessimists and, oh my God, our kids are going to be ruined all because of what this is going to happen. Because of the divorce, our kids are going to have problems left or right. Well, if you come into it with that attitude, they may, because you're going to push that onto your children. They're going to see that in you. You know, your children need to see their parents as their parents, letting them know that just because mom and dad got divorced doesn't mean that mom and dad can't co-parent together, can't be friends, can't sit next to each other at baseball games or go to birthday parties together. Kids need to see that because divorce is a fact of life and it isn't the end of the world. It's not the doomsday scenario because for a lot of people, getting divorced is probably the best thing for their children because they're in an unhappy relationship. The children are seeing their parents fight. They can feel the tension in the house. You know, parents will say all the time, oh, our children have no idea what's going on. We've kept this away from them. Sometimes that is true. Other times the kids can just sense it. They know that something's not right.
Last benefit that you wrote for this article, benefits of mediation for kids, is mediation is a great option for post-decree issues. So a lot of people listening, Brian, don't even know what post-decree issues are because they're not even through the divorce. So explain that.
So what post-decree issues are is once a parenting agreement gets entered in court, so it could be a parenting agreement for a couple that was never married, or for a couple that is married going through the divorce process, then you enter into like the post-decree world. So ideally, you're out of court, everything's done, everything's going smoothly, but then you run into a hiccup. You run into an issue that requires an agreement or possibly a change to the schedule or the holidays or something.
Like someone loses their job.
Yeah, say so someone loses their job and there'd be financial things that need to change, or someone has to move 20 miles away from where they live right now, or you're disagreeing on whether the children should do travel hockey or not due to the cost, due to this, due to that. And even good parents or co-parents are going to have issues where sometimes they don't agree. And instead of going to court and litigating, all parenting agreements have provisions that require mediation unless it's an emergency, imminent harm to the children, danger to the children. Parents are required to mediate. So the courts are trying to keep people out of court, because when people go to court, nothing good happens in the end, because a judge is going to have to tell you what to do. And that's usually a win-lose mentality versus you have an issue, you present it to the mediators, mediators do their job, what we're skilled to do, and help the parents come to an agreement that, again, is in their children's best interest. That, okay, your position is this, your position is this. And both their positions may be good, thought out positions that make sense. But then it comes to compromise. Are you willing to compromise? And parents that are working together and didn't, then those who didn't burn bridges during the divorce are able to compromise, because it's not about who wins, who gets their way. It's about what's best for our children and keeps everybody out of court and litigation.
Yep. And Brian, I'll give my listeners a perfect example. When I was getting divorced several years ago, 15, I felt like after the divorce, there was a situation that came up and I felt like my ex-husband owed me $2,000. And he was like, no, I'm not paying it. I went back to court for the $2,000. It cost me $10,000 to get the two. All these other issues started coming up. We were at our worst point in getting along. It was a horrific experience. Now that I know, we could have gone to mediation for a few hundred dollars and sorted a bunch of things out. So I think that's such an important example.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's just someone else being in the room or on the Zoom call with the parents to just keep them focused on what's right, to keep them focused on the issues at hand. Sometimes when I'm doing a mediation, all I'm doing is interjecting here and there because the parents are doing the talking. And if I know they're getting ready to go down a path that's not productive, I'm going to step in and say something. You want to keep them focused on coming to agreements, not why they can't come to an agreement, not why he's wrong or she's wrong or his position is stupid or hers makes no sense. It's focusing on the business side of it. And some people just need that because they're not able to do that. They still have emotions from their divorce. Right. They still have emotions from other things that maybe not anything to do with their divorce, something else going on with their life, their job, their personal life, their new relationship. We help them focus on the business side of it, which is their children, and on that specific issue.
Brian, this has been so wonderful, such great information, so important. And before we sign off here, I want to ask you, so who is your typical client? Like, who should call you if they're interested in maybe mediating? Like, what's a good fit for you and Ellen?
A good fit is people who have made the decision to divorce and who do not want to fight, that want to do what is right by everybody, that do not want to hire attorneys and go through the litigation process, that ultimately want to come to good agreements but don't know what to do. They need help being educated and help getting from point A to point Z. Those are the best people for mediation, because the buy-in to mediation, the buy-in by the parents to come in and say, you know what, we have our differences, but we want to work together. That's 90% of a successful mediation, is the buy-in by the parents, because they control everything. They are the players in this. They are the ones that are going to decide everything. And the more they have that positive mentality about getting through this, the more likely they're going to get through this as good parents working together.
Okay, I love it. And then I was just going to add one more thing. If you have already called an attorney or you're thinking about one, I personally think that's okay. Because, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but after you and Ellen and the couple comes to all these conclusions about what your post-divorce life is going to look like, each person has the right to run it by their attorney and say, is this okay? Like, just to ask their attorney if you feel better about it. And the attorney basically signs off on it.
Most definitely.
And also, think about it. To have an attorney look it over isn't going to cost nearly the amount of money that you would if you litigated and had an attorney. It will take an hour or two. So it's not a big monetary investment either, if it gives you peace of mind and makes you feel like you're doing the right thing. And then also, after Brian and Ellen come up with this agreement, they can recommend an attorney, or one of the couples, one of the partners, gives it to their attorney to draw it up so that it goes to court and is signed off by the judge, right?
Yep, exactly. Yep, that's the way it works, because you want to have the right people doing mediation. You want to have the right attorneys doing the legal piece. If you want to fight, if you want to argue, and you want to go for the throat, mediation is not right for you.
Nobody wants to fight and cut throat. That all comes from being hurt, being angry, feeling betrayed, being scared, all these heightened emotions. I don't believe that people really want to. They just don't know how to cope with the devastation of what just happened to them.
And that's why they need to be in the right frame of mind to start mediation. Because we've had some people where we've had a consultation with, and we've said, you're not ready to start this process. If we're going to work with you, here's some things you should do to get yourself in a better place. Because setting the stage for mediation is important. If someone's going to come in, just finding out 3 days ago that their spouse had an affair and is leaving them, they're probably not in the right frame of mind to come to good agreements, because they want to hurt their ex. They want to go for the jugular, and that's not good for mediation. But if they take some time, both of them, one of them, get into therapy and work on those issues that might be roadblocks, and then come back to the process, it's going to be good. We've seen that happen a lot of times with people, because you need to be in the right frame of mind in your head and your heart for mediation to work.
I totally agree. Oh my gosh, Brian, great, great interview. Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff. And this was my guest, divorce mediator and parenting coordinator, Brian James. If you want to learn more about Brian and his partner, Ellen, their company is called CEL and Associates, and you can Google them or just go to CELandAssociates.com, or you can go to Divorce Girl Smiling, and they're on there as well. And if you want to read more articles, watch videos, listen to more podcasts, download my mobile app, go to DivorceGirlSmiling.com. Hope you have a great day, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.